Krista, children Aaron, and Joey, and Jay. And we are going to sing in English and Romanian here.
Amen.
You can find the words.
There we are.
So we'll sing in Romanian, and then we'll sing one verse in English. We'll start in Ecclesiastes. Start in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. In this chapter, Solomon writes about there's a time for a lot of different things that are going to happen in our life, the time for different experiences, different things. There's going to be good times and there's going to be hard times in our life. And it's the way it is with life. And so in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1, the Bible says, "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven." And he goes down through here and in verse 5, "A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together." And this morning I want to look at some different types of stones that we might have in our life or that we should have or that we shouldn't have in our life. And there's a time to gather stones and a time to cast away stones. Or to put it another way, there's a kind of stones to gather and a kind of stones to cast away. And in the Bible, we see stones used mainly for two things. I mean, other than as a weapon of war. We see stones being set up for two main reasons. One is for memorials or landmarks, and the other major purpose of stones is for building walls, building walls and barriers. All right? And so let's turn first to 1 Samuel chapter 4. 1 Samuel chapter 4, and we're going to read just a few verses here from 1 Samuel 4 over to chapter 7 about a stone of memorial. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for your faithfulness to us. And I pray that you would speak to each one of us this morning to have discernment, to understand your work in each of our lives, to understand how these stones apply to us, Lord, and to discern what you're doing and what you're teaching us, that we might be conformed to your plan, your purpose, your design for us, that we might glorify you with our lives. Bless this service in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And so in 1 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 1, we're going to read about a great battle. And understand that this great battle that happened to Israel at this time was because of sin. Israel was in sin. They were in idolatry. They were not obeying the Lord. And so God is using the Philistines to judge them. And so in 1 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 1, "And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle and pitched beside Ebenezer, and the Philistines pitched in Aphek." And it's important to understand here, it wasn't called Ebenezer yet. Now understand that the book of Samuel was written after these events, and by this time it was going to become Ebenezer. But at this time, it's just some place. They just met in some field somewhere without a name. And verse 2, "The Philistines put themselves in array against Israel. And when they joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines. And they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men." And so they went and they get the ark, thinking that they can have the ark of God, and they'll have the power of God without any repentance, without any change in their life, that they can just grab the ark of God, and this ark is going to save them. Like many people wear a cross around their neck and live in sin. A cross doesn't mean anything by itself. It's just a piece of wood or whatever it's made of. It's just a symbol. It's our relationship with God. It's our walk with God that gives us the presence and the power of God in our life. It's not a symbol. But they go and they get the ark because they think the ark is going to save them. And it doesn't work out. In verse 10, "The Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten. And they fled every man into his tent. And there was a very great slaughter. For there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. And the ark of God was taken. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain." And as we turn over to chapter 6, in verse 1, "And the ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines 7 months. And the Lord gives all these plagues to the Philistines. And they send the ark back. But the ark doesn't come back to the house of God. The ark comes back to the house of Abinadab." In chapter 7, in verse 1, "And the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill and sanctified Eleazar his son to keep the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim that the time was long, for it was 20 years. And all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord." And so this time, the ark of the Lord was taken from the house of God, from the place of worship, and it was taken into this battle in vain. It was captured by the Philistines. They held it for 7 months, and thousands of them were killed with plagues. And they finally sent it back to Israel, but they didn't bring it back to the house of God. They brought it to this place in Kirjath-Jearim, and there it sat for 20 years. And so for 20 years, Israel is in bondage. For 20 years, Israel is without the worship of God. They're in bondage to the enemy. They're the servants of sin, and they're mourning for 20 years. And many times this is something that happens in our lives. Many, especially when you're not saved, you make bad decisions. And bad decisions lead to bad decisions, and bad habits lead to bad decisions, and bad decisions lead to bad habits. And you're just a servant of sin. You're in the bondage of sin, serving the enemy, serving the lusts of the flesh, and suffering all kinds of consequences of sin. But if we're saved, there was a day when we turned to God from sin, turned to God from idols, turned to God from whatever we were trusting before. People make a big thing about whether repentance is part of salvation and whether it's works. And the word is just to turn. And you can't turn to God without turning from whatever else. You can't have God and another God. You can't have faith and trust works as well. Our faith is in Christ alone.
Yeah, amen.
And as we turn to Him, it's from whatever else. That's repentance.
Amen.
We turn to God. We surrender to His will. And so in verse 3, Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Asheroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Asheroth, and served the Lord only. And Samuel said, Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah, and drew water, and poured it out before the Lord, and fasted on that day, and said there, We have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And there again, they're willing to admit their sin. Many times that's the hardest part. As we go to Romania, and we're missionaries in Romania, and people often ask us, Why are you here? You're Americans. Why in the world did you come to Romania? I said, Well, we're missionaries. We're here to preach the gospel. And they go, But we're Christians.
Yeah.
We were baptized as babies. 90% of Romanians are baptized as infants in the Orthodox Church. About half of them actually go to church. And so you saw in the video, about 60-65% attend church. That's what that statistic was. That's the number that actually go to church. But they all say, Oh, I'm a Christian because I was baptized as a baby. Doesn't make you a Christian. Makes you wet. Doesn't make you a Christian. And so here they admit their sin, they turn to the Lord, and what happens? In verse 10, And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel, but the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines, and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel, and the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. The Lord has brought us out of bondage. The Lord has delivered us from the enemy. The Lord has delivered us from being the servants of sin. And we're going to set up a landmark here. We're not going back. We're going to set up a stone of memorial here. Remember what God did in our life. And every one of us ought to have at least one memorial in our life, a place where we remember, I know what I was, and I know what the Lord did for me. You ought to have at least one. And the time when you were saved, and you ought to have a day and a time in your mind, whether you know the exact date on the calendar or not. I often tell people, you know, men get in trouble all the time for forgetting anniversaries and birth dates and stuff. I've never met one that forgot he had a wife. You know what I'm saying? He remembers that there was a wedding, whether he knows what day it was or not. And it's not so important that you know the date that you were saved, but that you know that you're saved. You know there was a time when you were lost, and you met Jesus, and he changed you. That's what it is. And you know there was a time, and that ought to be a stone to you. A stone of memorial. A stone of landmark. A stone that you're not going to cross to go back. And so this stone of landmark, this stone of memorial, is a place in our life where the Lord delivered us with a great deliverance from the bondage of sin. Maybe it's after you were saved. Maybe you were saved and you slip back into some bad habits and some bad acquaintances, and you fell back into sin. That happens. There's still forgiveness. There's still deliverance for the saved. You understand? When the Lord teaches forgiveness, and I'm getting ahead of myself here, but in Luke 17, as the Lord is teaching on forgiveness, he says, if your brother trespass against you, and he repents, forgive him. 7 times a day. 7 times a day. And the disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. And he says, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could say to the sycamore tree, get out of here. And in Matthew 17, he says, this mountain. Not to say literally necessarily, but the idea that if we have faith to forgive, we're unstoppable. There's nothing we can't do if we can forgive. That's the forgiveness that Jesus offers. 7 times a day. Not presumption. I'm going to sin because God's going to forgive me. No, but when we stumble, when we fall, it's not time to give up. It's not time to quit. It's not time to throw in the towel. God's done with me. No, you're still breathing. There's room for repentance and forgiveness and get up and go on for God. and set up another stone. God delivered me again, and I'm not going back this time. There ought to be some memorials in our life. And there's a place in Romania, right near where we're moving, actually just a few miles from where we're going to move to. And I learned about this recently. It's just not known in America. In World War I, it's one of the greatest battles, one of the greatest stands ever made. A great victory won by the Romanians, of all people. And Germany, the Romania had joined World War I on the side of the Allies. And Germany had expected this. And what happened was Romania had a very small country at this time. Only about half the size it is now. Very, very small. But they had a huge army compared to the size of their country. And so as they entered the war, they began to make great progress. And they swept through Transylvania, which belonged to Hungary. And they made great advances at first. But then Germany and Bulgaria began to drive them back and back and back and back. And they took all that land they had gained and most of their country that they had to start with. And they were backed up in a corner with about a quarter of Romania left. Backed up in the mountains in the last corner of Romania. Russia had been helping Romania, but they're starting to pull back. They were giving up. And they came to this certain place called Mureșeș. And the commander of the Romanian army, he said this: they don't cross here. This line, we're drawing a line, and they don't cross this line. This stops here. We are going to stand. And they stood there for a month, bombarded with artillery, with poison gas. Over 100,000 people were killed in this battle between the Romanians, the Russians, the Bulgarians, the Germans. About 120,000 casualties in this battle. Just pounding and pounding and pounding and pounding. And the commander said, no, this line we're not going to cross. And they won. And Germany backed down. This tiny country defeated Germany. And they put up a stone today. Today you can go there, and there's a stone. And on that stone it says, pe aici nu se trece. Here they will not cross. Here they will not pass. Because that's part of what the commander said. It's part of a quote from him. And he said, in this place, there's a longer thing that he said, and it's written on a sarcophagus there. They've got a memorial to this commander and to this battle. And he says this longer statement, but it ends up, he says, in this place, on the rocks, we wrote in blood, they will not cross. This is a line we will not cross. This is the last corner of our country. This is the last thing. We're not going back. And they stood. And it's called one of the greatest battles. The German prisoners that were captured said, this rivals Verdun and the Somme, the greatest battles in France in World War I. They said, this is like that. The stand that they made. And that commander received medals from France and from Britain and from Russia. The highest honors of any commander got in World War I. To that commander who drew a line and said, we don't cross this line. And we need to have a place in our life when the Lord delivers us, when the Lord brings us the victory, no matter how dark the place we've come through, no matter how great the problem, whatever we've endured, and the Lord has brought us through and brought us the victory, we ought to set up a stone and say, this line we don't cross. I'm not going back to bondage. I'm not going back to sin. I'm not going back to defeat. I'm not going back to despair. I'm not giving up again. I'm going to set a stone here. And we don't go back. But what about looking forward? What about looking forward? Let's turn to John chapter 11. As we look backward in our lives, we look backwards towards the place of bondage and despair and defeat. We ought to have a stone there, a wall. I'm not going back there. The Lord delivered us. But as we look forward, this morning I say there should be no wall in front. As we go forward for God, there should be no barrier. No place that we say in our heart, I won't go there. I won't give that. I won't suffer that. I won't forgive again. I won't have any more mercy. I won't have any more grace. There's no more all of, I'm not going to witness again, we shouldn't have those stones. So as we look back, put a stone of memorial. But as we look forward, there should be no stones of barrier that stop us from the work of God, that stop us from seeing the work of God in our lives. In John chapter 11, this chapter here is about the resurrection of Lazarus. And this is a great miracle. This is a great miracle. How many of you today would like to see a resurrection? Would that be a great thing? Would that be amazing? You know what the problem is with a resurrection? It comes after death. That's the hard part of this story. The hard part of this miracle is the suffering that comes before the miracle. The pain that comes before the victory. That's hard. And so as Lazarus here is sick, and Mary and Martha, they call Jesus. Look here in John 11, in verse 4. Look what Jesus says. When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified thereby." This sickness is not unto death. But Lazarus is going to die. But it's not unto death. It's beyond death. This event that we're going to witness here in John 11 passes through death all the way to victory. And as we know many people right now that are sick with COVID, many people that are suffering. Our mission board director just passed away a couple of days ago from COVID. And we know many people that are struggling and suffering right now. But listen, as Christians, even if we get sick, even if we suffer, even if this body has got to die, we are not destined unto death, but through death all the way to victory. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" Death has no victory over us. It has no power over us. Our bodies may lose, but our soul is going on to glory. We've got a new body in our new home. And all this has got to go one way or another. And it's rough. I'm not denying that or minimizing the pain. It is rough. It is hard. Dealing with loss on this earth, dealing with suffering, dealing with sickness is difficult. And down here, as Jesus is coming to the grave, Jesus wept. He wept with those that wept. He bore their sorrow with them. But he asked them to go through it to victory. To go through it to the glory of God. Not unto death, but through it to the glory of God. In verse 23, I'm skipping several things here, but we're moving along. In verse 23, as Martha comes out to Jesus, and Jesus says unto her, "Thy brother shall rise again." And Martha saith unto him, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." And Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" And she saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." Now as Jesus came, he gave Martha this great promise, "Thy brother shall rise again." And she said, "Well, yeah, someday." And Jesus answers her and he says, "Today. I am the resurrection. He shall rise in the resurrection. I am the resurrection." And he's at her house and he says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Believest thou this?" And she goes, "I believe in Jesus." Yeah, but do you believe in the power of God in your life? In your suffering? In your sorrow? In your struggle? Do you believe the power of God to deliver you? Even if you got to go through a hard place. And she said, "I believe in Jesus. But what about the power? The power of the resurrection?" She didn't really answer that. And as we come to the grave, As we come down to the grave, in verse 33, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her. See, this is not just Mary and Martha. It's a whole bunch of her neighbors. He groaned in the spirit and was troubled and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said unto him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, "Behold how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died?" They're doubting. They're questioning. Why are good people suffering? If God loves them, why do they have trouble? Why do they have suffering? If God loves them, it's for the glory of God. They're going through the death for the resurrection. And it's very hard to go through. But the Lord says this is for the glory of God. And he comes down in verse 38. Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Now, ever stop, and this is a familiar story to many people, but you ever stop and think about that stone? What was the purpose of a stone on a grave at that time? Now, nowadays things are different. You know, when someone is buried, we put a stone of memorial. It's not to cover the grave. It's just a stone of memorial. They're buried in the ground. But back then, this is a cave. What's the stone for?
To block it, to protect them.
The stone is there. Because Lazarus stinks. Because it's unpleasant. It's to protect those that are left. It's not doing anything for Lazarus. He's not trying to get out or anything. It's to protect the survivors from suffering anymore. Because when Jesus says in verse 39, "Take ye away the stone," Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days." She's talking about her own comfort, her own safety. She says, "Lord, this is going to get real unpleasant. If we take away that stone, this is going to be unpleasant for me. This has the potential to hurt me. It's not safe to be around death. It doesn't smell nice. It's not safe. It can hurt you. I'm not denying it. This is true." And she says, "Lord, are you sure that I've got to get uncomfortable for this miracle?" And he says in verse 40, "Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" And here he's calling for the same thing he was calling for in the last conversation with Martha. "Martha, where is your faith? I want you to believe before you see. I want you to believe enough to suffer. Believe enough to endure until the victory. Believe to pass through this valley unto victory." And Martha says, "But Lord, I put a stone there to protect me." Those people, and if we make an application in our life, those people hurt me before. Those people don't like me. Those people are unpleasant. This is going to cost me. This is going to hurt me. I'm going to suffer. And I put a stone there because I don't want to suffer anymore. And the Lord says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Take away the stone." And as we look forward in our life, and we look for the glory of God, and we look forward to victory in our life, we ought not to have a place where we draw a line in front of us that I will not cross. You understand what I'm saying? Behind us, there ought to be a line. I'm not going back there to sin and bondage and defeat and despair. I'm going forward to the glory of God. If I got to go through a valley, if I got to go through suffering, if I got to go through death, I'm going forward to victory. And there ought not to be a stone where we say, "But not at that price. Not in that place. Not to those people. not to that suffering, not to the forgive that again. It's too many times I'm not going to forgive again. And the Lord told the disciples, if you just had the faith to forgive again, you could do anything. You'd be unstoppable with faith to forgive. Faith to endure hardship again. Faith to be merciful again. Faith to love again. Faith to sacrifice again. Faith to suffer again. And let's not place a stone in front of us that stops us from seeing the glory of God. The Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. And as we look at this passage, the Lord is still the resurrection and the life. And this is still true. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. That's still true today. And in our lives, we may be facing some very hard things. We may be facing some situations that to our power are impossible. I have never saved one person. I've preached to a lot of people. I've witnessed to a lot of people. I've had the opportunity to lead a few to the Lord. But I've never saved one. I can't do that. That's the work of God. All I can do is take away the stone and expect God to work. And some people place a stone and they say, boy, I wouldn't go to Romania. Why not? God told us to. Yeah, but it's difficult. Yeah, it is. But you got to leave everything here. Yeah. And you got to go over there. Yeah. Romanians tell us, I wouldn't move to that town. Our neighbors, they said, you're not seriously taking your family over there. Within Romania. Just to another county where they speak a little bit different dialect, kind of, just different accent. And there's more gypsies. And our neighbors told us, you're not seriously going to do that. They said to my wife, these ladies that she has the Bible study with, they say to her, you make decisions in your life based on what you think God wants you to do? That's different. That's not part of our religion. Our religion is go to church on Sunday. Your religion is to do what God wants you to do. Even if it's unpleasant, that's a different thing. We need to get that kind of religion, where we do what God calls us to do without saying, I don't want to. It's hard. It may be hard. It's going to cost me. It may cost. Many have suffered for the name of Christ. But it's unto, not unto death, it's unto the glory of God. Amen? So as we look at our lives, and each of us, I don't know, I really don't know anybody here. So I'm not picking on anybody. I don't know your situation. But each of us ought to consider in our heart, is there a place where you remember God brought me out? I remember the day, as the song goes, I remember the day when I was bent low with the burden of sin and strife. And Jesus came down and he rescued me and he gave me a brand new life. Every one of us ought to have that place in our life where I remember the day when I met Jesus and everything changed. And many times, there ought to be more places where we had a struggle, we had whether it was sin or just the struggles of life, and we went through a hard place and God brought us through, and we ought to have a stone of memorial there. I remember when God brought me out. Ebenezer. The Lord helped. The Lord helped us. But as we look forward, is there a place in your heart where you say, well, I would like to serve God. I would like to see the glory of God. I would like to see people saved. I would like to see this church flourishing, but not at that price. Not if it means those people. Not if it means that place. Not at that price. Not if I have to be uncomfortable. Then we need to take away that stone. Yes. To see the glory of God. And be willing to be uncomfortable, to be endangered, to suffer loss for the glory of God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you once again for your word. I thank you for the victory that you bring us through your power. And thank you for faith, to continue, faith to stand, faith to endure, Lord, because you are faithful and you are always reliable. And I pray that you would help each of us, Lord, to consider in our heart and life what you've done for us, what you've brought us from, and what is ahead for us, the victory and the glory that awaits, if we'll go through some uncomfortable things. I pray that you would help each of us to yield to you in whatever area you lead us, whatever area you call us, Lord, that we would be willing to be uncomfortable for your glory. Help us, Lord, to glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Blessing. Let's all stand. Just have a moment of invitation. Have God tug down your heartstrings. And as the piano plays, if you want to bring something to the altar, if you want to bring something to the Lord, right here for your hand, let's just have a moment of invitation. If here today, never received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I encourage you to consider your need right there. The Bible says, and thank you for what we've heard and seen here today. Thank you again, Father, for your blessing on your words. Thank you again, Father, for stones of memories, stones again of memorials that we have in our lives and things you've done for us. And thank you again, Father, even for the stone of the tomb that was removed so that the hand of God could show. I pray, Father, again that you'd help us touch again and think again of the account of death and mourning and that's so real to us even this week now that I pray again that you touch the words of this message in a special way. And we'll praise you and thank you. Be with the Reeds. Thank you for them being here. Pray a special blessing on our service and on our worship this day. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. All right. You may be seated. Just before we dismiss, I don't want to have a preacher let us out before the normal pastor even finishes preaching. So, praise the Lord. Anyone have any questions? Any questions for the Reeds or about Romania? I should have given you a heads up here again that we're going to do that. But I'll go ahead and start. Praise the Lord. So we've all learned Romanian? Family?
I know the most Romanian.
But you have priests in Romania?
Yes.
All right, good.
I go and I deal with the government, and we got our visas, and so I'm considered fluent enough to be a resident of Romania.
Praise the Lord.
And we're in about a year, we'll go and apply for residency, because once we're 5 years in Romania, without, I'll come up there so I can hear better. Once we're in Romania for 5 years in what's called continuous stay, that means we haven't been gone for more than 6 months at one time or a total of 10 months out of 5 years. Then we can apply for residency, and that's a five-year term, but it comes with no restrictions. We don't need a sponsor. We don't have to go through the religion department. We aren't restricted on where we can live. Up until now, we've had to live in the same county as our sponsor. They have to file certain paperwork with the government. That takes a month. It comes back to us. Then we file our paperwork on piggybacking on theirs, and that takes another month, and it's a whole big thing. So residency takes away those things. And we can just renew residency. And the main thing besides the time of stay is to be fluent. But the test for that is just to have a conversation with the immigration police. And they just start talking, and if you can answer them, you're good. And generally, they will let a spouse skate by on their spouse's fluency. So they've actually issued citizenship based on the spouse's fluency to people that we know. So my wife is not as fluent as I am, but she's learning. Aaron is learning. Aaron is picking up a little bit of Romanian and Hungarian and German. The boys will get there. But it just, you got to spend time with people and have the chance. Not everyone learns the same way. I like books. I like learning. I like words. And I just picked it up really quickly. It's just something the Lord has given me in that area. I'm not a great musician, but I'm good at learning the language. And so the Lord has given us that and able to progress very fast. I had 4 months of formal lessons. And then for a year, I would write sermons in Romanian, and my friend would correct them into correct Romanian, and then I would read them in proper Romanian for a year. And one of my other friends said, I think you should start doing it without the notes. And I said, I don't think so. And he said, no, you should go for it. And I said, I can't do it. And started out being able to preach for about 5 minutes in Romanian, and then wanted to lay down and die. And now I'm, within a couple of months, it was just like preaching in English almost. Sometimes I stop and search for the word, but I do that in English. So.
All right. Praise the Lord. Anyone else have any questions?
Looks like you were thinking something.
I'm thinking. It's slow.
All right. Let me go ahead and ask this then. How many of you will say, okay, I'm going to pray for the reeds? Praise the Lord. I'll put them on my prayer list and keep them in prayer. That means at least I have my requirement once a week again that you'll mention their names, bring them before the throne room in heaven. Appreciate that. And appreciate the reads coming up here. All right. Then I need Jay and Joseph to come on up front here. We have a presentation that we always do to missionary kids. This is it. You can have every coin that you can get out of this bucket, okay? And you got to share it with your sister, okay? Then make a three-way divide there or something again. But that'll be our effort right after church is dismissed here, is to get that dumped into something. And we don't want you to put it in your pocket, so we'll give you something to put it in again so you don't ruin a good pair of pants. All right, praise the Lord. It has been a blessing again, and those on Facebook, because of the New York State stupidity, again, our Facebook is only going to show the big screen TV from now on, so there will be no witness of who's wearing a mask and who's not wearing a mask in church, okay? So I don't want that on Facebook. And so, again, anyone on Facebook, again, that will promise prayer, just get a comment in there again. And to pray for the reeds, and we'll make sure you get a card for them. Father, praise you and thank you. Thank you that we could meet together, rejoice together, worship together. Pray your blessing now on our week. We'll ask this in the name of Christ and for his name's sake. Amen, amen. One more thing to do before we leave. We brought in a birthday cake, and we missed Deb's birthday. Yeah? Zach's birthday. Did we miss Deb's birthday?
Anniversary.
Oh, that was the anniversary. And we missed Dale's birthday. That was, you had a birthday on Thanksgiving Day, is that right? Oh, all right. Praise the Lord. So let's stand. We're going to dismiss with a happy birthday. If you don't sing, you don't get a piece of cake. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. One more, one more. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary, God bless you. Happy anniversary to you. Praise the Lord.
Let's go to the house.
Is that right?
Say the same,
same tune?
No, it's the same anniversary or birthday. It's the same thing.
Oh, for the song.
No, different. It's the same words. It's La Multan. It's too many years.
It's his birthday on Tuesday.
Oh,
is that right? We
could have
got 40. That.
Maybe 40 in 2 days.
Oh, wow.
He's not old. He's just a little old.
He's way past 20.
I gotta go.
You have to get a pencil
with an eraser on it.
Get the set of the
or one of your pens with
So this is Grandma and Grandma's son died.
Because they are going to be in 5 weeks.